from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 11:02. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal on this Thursday midday. Mets baseball has been the big time theme early. Let's head out to Arizona. Day game today. Peterson on the mound. Mets looking to take 2 of 3. Bad loss last night. Tim Britton, senior writer, Athletic, covers the Mets, joins me now. Hey, Tim, good morning. Appreciate the time.
No, anytime, Moose. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Tim. Listen, there comes a point. We'll get to, you know, what's going on with Nunez as well. But, you know, Diaz here, you know, I can't hear about the knee anymore. It's about mechanics, where his arms are, where his hand placement is, falling off to the third base side. You have a game last night. You're trailing 4-0. Your offense leads you back. Bader hits a big two-run home run. Tie the game at 4. Alonso with the sac fly. Take a 5-4 lead. You hand it off to Diaz for the 4-out save. And I get what Brandon Nimmo had to say, that, you know, Arizona's a good team. They're trying to win, too. You're not going to beat all these teams. That is a bad loss last night when you hand it off to Diaz, because you hand off to what should be your most trusted and talented reliever to get a 4-out save.
Yeah, I mean, you look at where that game was earlier. You know, not only the 4-0 deficit, but that you know, Luis Severino has to come out in the 5th inning, and your bullpen is a little shallow because Nunez is unavailable. And if you're Carlos Mendoza, you're thinking, how can I get the ball to Edwin Diaz with the lead? You know, that's the number one priority in that game. And you get 3 hitless innings out of your other guys in the bullpen, out of Danny Young and Reed Garrett and Waskar Brazoban. You get to the point, you do the hard part, and then you get to Diaz in the 8th, runner on first, 2 outs. And 8 and 9 coming up in the order, you feel pretty good about where you're at, especially in that 8th inning. You know, the 9th inning might be tough, top of the order, but, you know, you get out of that 8th and then you roll the dice in the 9th. But, you know, Diaz, from that first batter against the pinch hitter, Pavin Smith, like the first couple pitches out of the strike zone, you can tell right away that he didn't quite have his mechanics, but we've seen him lock in that point. You know, when Diaz is at his best, he'll have a batter like that, and then he'll throw strike one right down the middle of the next guy and throw the slider off of it and be back in command of his mechanics. That's what he did so often in 2022, was when it went awry for him, he was able to lock it back in, you know, the next batter rather than the next outing or two. And right now he's fighting it the same way he did earlier in the season. You know, he said last night, early in the season, it felt like it was the knee, that the knee doesn't bother him at all anymore, or the rust doesn't bother him at all anymore, but it's just a matter of losing his mechanics and not being able to find it quickly enough in a key spot last night.
Tim, can this team overcome the 4-game deficit they currently sit behind the Braves for the 3rd and final wild card spot if Diaz doesn't figure it out?
No. I mean, I think they need not just Diaz to figure it out, but they need someone else in that bullpen, especially if Nunez is unavailable going forward for them. They need someone else to step up and be, you know, a big-time setup man for them. You know, they were kind of counting on Nunez, Jose Buto, Phil Maton, maybe, like, you know, a group of that of those guys could work together to get the ball to Diaz on a consistent basis. But Buto's taking a step back. Nunez looks like he might not be able to pitch very much down the stretch. Maton's been fine. But, you know, that bullpen needs someone else to set up in addition to Diaz locking it back in They can't afford him to slip any more.
All right, Tim, what are you hearing about Nunez? I didn't meet with the media. I know Mendoza addressed a little bit, having issues in between outings here. He's dealing with forearm tightness. What's the latest with Nunez?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is something that the Mets have been cautious about, really going back earlier in the season. You know, with these guys like Nunez, Buto, and Reed Garrett, guys who are not used to pitching in high leverage spots, guys who are not used to pitching entire seasons in the major leagues, that they wanted to be cautious with how often they use them in high pressure situations and how much they went back to back and things like that. But they gave them rest. They felt early in the season that with Garrett, they pushed him too much too fast. And that's one of the reasons he regressed. That's one of the reasons he hit the IL. And so with Nunez, the first time he felt any tightness in his forearm back in July, they decided to put him on the IL to try to weed out that problem. They thought it would be a two-week thing. It turned into a little bit longer than that. And now, you know, after the one appearance over the weekend, we're I think, 3 or 4 days clear of that, he still feels tightness in there. Like he didn't feel like he could pitch in a major league game last night. And that's concerning. And I think, you know, the Mets have to make a roster move for Tyler McGill on Friday. It would not surprise me if it involves Nunez going back to the IL or something to try to figure out this issue, because they can't pitch shorthanded like this for very long. They need someone else up in that bullpen if he can't go.
All right, x-rays were negative on Severino. Anything else to be concerned about after he left that start early last night?
I mean, he was limping a bit, but it wasn't like he was in a boot or anything like that. I think, you know, it'll be sore for him for a couple of days, but he'll probably be ready for the next start. You know, right after that happened, his velocity dipped a bit, but he did get most of it back later in the outing. So I think it was kind of a momentary sting. Unfortunately, that involved giving up two runs later in the inning, which hurt them in the game. But I think he'll be fine for his next start.
We're talking to Tim Britton out in Arizona, covers the Mets for The Athletic. You know, Tim, when you look at this season on the whole, or, you know, sitting here with 29 games to go, another afternoon game today in Arizona, you know, they're in playoff contention, something Stearns wanted to do year one under, you know, being president here of this team, is that they were going to be playoff contenders. They are. Did it take a turn here to where if this team doesn't make the playoffs this year, it would be a disappointment?
Yeah, I mean, I think they came out with the stated goal of making the playoffs. And if you don't reach your stated goal, it's a disappointment. You know, Stearns said way back in the offseason that, you know, no year in New York should be a reset year. Like, he knows the market from growing up here. But, you know, they built the team to kind of win 84 to 86 games and be in the hunt. I think the problem for them is that it's going to take more than that to get a wild card in the National League this year. Last year, 84 wins was good enough for two playoff teams in the NL. Mets are on pace for 84, but San Diego and Arizona are on pace for 90-plus. Atlanta's on pace for 89. You know, if Atlanta plays 500 ball down the stretch, the Mets got to go 19-10 to catch them. So the math is getting more difficult for them, and time is running out on them.
When you look at Alonso, I thought interesting comments after the 8-3 win, talking about how much he loves it here, loves it in New York. Interesting thing, couple things on Alonso here, Tim. You're around him each and every day. I understand the pressure of the contract year. You know, I joke around about this over at Picks with Nelson Figueroa all the time. Like, what happened to Alonso in his personality this year? Like, it's the guy that was fun-loving, you know, LFGM, all those things. Like, that Alonso is gone. It's like almost someone stole his vibe, his soul, whatever it might be. Now he's giving the same repetitive answers. I know he's getting getting asked the same questions. But Alonso, like, is he enjoying himself this year? Because you don't get a sense that he is when he meets with the media.
Yeah, he does not. I don't think he enjoys his interactions with us as much as he did when he first came up, which is kind of natural for any player. Most guys, when they come up and you have a good rapport with them, you're hoping it just lasts as long as it can. With Alonso, you know, I go back to a conversation I had with Brandon Nimmo in spring training about what it's like to play your platform, your walk year in New York. And Nimmo said, like, man, as much as you think to yourself that I'm going to be judged on 6 years of Major League Baseball, and I shouldn't overreact to any slump. When you're in a 2-for-20 during that season, you do start thinking about, okay, how much money am I losing on this? And so I think it's just a really tough situation to be in as a player. I think, you know, Alonso's year, it's not a bad year. It's probably on par with his year last year. I think the Mets thought it would be a little bit better. They thought there were some reasons to be optimistic coming off of last year. It just hasn't been quite the normal Alonso season we had seen in 19 and 21 and 22. But it just, you know, he doesn't have kind of the LFGM shouting on the field energy that he had stretches earlier in his career.
You know, is it a case where, you know, this team has, you know, where Lindor has taken over as the unquestioned leader of this team, Tim?
I think that's probably been the case for a little while. I think Nimmo is the guy who has stepped up more as a leader this season that I've noticed. Okay. Than in the past. I think after signing his big deal, the Mets, he's kind of looked at like, okay, Francisco and Nimmo are going to be there through 2030. So they're the guys who kind of step up in that direction. Alonso has never been like the most vocal guy. He's been like, you know, a high energy guy, a guy who really digs the vibes when they're going well. So I don't see that being a huge factor there.
Do you think that this last 29 games here are going to be the last 29 for Alonso as a Met?
I really don't know at this point. You know, you're trying to figure out what the Mets plan is going to be this offseason because, you know, as we spend so much time focusing on what's happened on the major league roster, you know, it's been a rough year for them on the minor league side. But some of the guys you thought might be candidates to play in your everyday lineup at the start of next season, guys like Drew Gilbert and Luis Angel Acuña and Jet Williams, have been hurt or haven't played up to par in the minor league. So from a position player side of things, you know, what do they decide to do at first base? Is Mark Vientos a long-term option at third, or do they want to move him across the diamond? There's a lot that goes into that. Who out there might pay Alonso, if not the Mets, is an interesting question. I don't think he's going to get the $200 million deal that Scott Boras was clearly angling for at certain times in the past year. But I'm not sure that the Mets are going to get Pete Alonso on a huge discount like some fans might think at this point.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see. The other thing, Tim, is what's the marketplace for Alonso? You know, 29, soon to be 30. You know, some of the metrics trending in the wrong direction. You know, he's been, you know, one of the faces of this organization, obviously a beloved New York Met. He's climbing the ladder in terms of all-time home run leaders, you know, trailing out David Wright and Shaw. So, I mean, the opportunity is there for Pete, and he wants to be here. The question is, what's the market look like, and how aggressive is Scott Boras going to be? Because he always takes his guys to free agency, and in the end, Boras cares about the almighty dollar more than anything else.
Yeah, and how much, you know, it's hard to put a number from either side on what that kind of loyalty means. Like, how much do the Mets value, you know, having Alonso still back with the team, having Alonso probably set the franchise home run record in the coming year, probably can do it next year if he's here. Does that mean anything to them, or... You know, would they try to make the same kind of cold-hearted calculus that the Braves made when they said, okay, we don't need Freddie Freeman, we're going to get Matt Olson instead? A move that, you know, might be more efficient for you, but in the end, when you're coming up short in October, you're like, man, I kind of wish we had Freddie Freeman. So it'll be interesting to see how David Stearns plays that. We haven't seen Stearns have to make these kinds of decisions in a big market before. So we're all kind of flying blind on that.
Tim, I asked you about leadership with Lindor. You brought up Nimmo. I want to talk about Francisco and his season this year. Some have thrown him into the MVP race in the National League. I haven't really. I mean, I think it's Ohtani. And I know he's not pitching, but I think it's Ohtani's to lose. But we'll see how the rest of this regular season. I think the Mets have to make the playoffs for Lindor to be in serious consideration. But what about the year that the Mets shortstop has had, you know, and the ups and downs, but really the way that he has trended upward for the better part of the last 3.5 months?
Yeah, I mean, outside of April, he's probably been the best player in the National League. Unfortunately, that month happened for him. But it's been another really strong season. This is probably his best in New York. He's been on such a roll offensively since early in the season. But in terms of MVP, I'm with you. I think Ohtani is, you know, he's got, what, 42 homers, 42 steals. Those numbers appeal to voters. I would imagine he's going to get to 50 and 50 and be the first guy to do that. But that can override not playing defense. Lindor's offensive profile just isn't kind of what we're used to seeing out of an MVP. He doesn't have the 900 OPS or the 40 home runs. So I think he's got a very good chance of finishing second in that race. And he's been such an everyday consistent presence for them all season long. Even when he struggles, you know, he's in the lineup every day. He does the same stuff before the game. He's even keeled about it. That's a really helpful presence for a team to have over the course of 162. And he's going to play 162, which is a really underrated thing that for guys to do these days. So I think, you know, whatever you think about this team this year, Francisco Lindor is much larger, much more a part of the solution long term than a part of the problem.
Tim, you reported last week that the Mets internally think there's a chance Senga could make his return to this team before the end of the regular season. What percentage of chance is that?
I mean, I would probably put it at like 10. I think it's you know, you think of it the same way you did about Edwin Diaz last year, which is that, A, like, Kodai Senga needs to hit every checkpoint on perfect time. Like, he can't afford a two-day backfly because we're talking about 5 days at the end of the regular season. One bullpen session that goes bad, one day of catch where he needs a little extra time, that throws you off. And number two, you need the circumstances to line up with that as well. You need the Mets to be very much a part of it in the final week of the season. You need them to believe Senga is a better option than whoever else they have in their rotation going, whether it's a big game in Atlanta at that point in the season or in Milwaukee over that final weekend. So you need all of those things to line up and make it a perfect storm for Senga to be there. I wouldn't expect that to happen, but they just haven't ruled it out yet.
Who do you expect, and I know we're a few days away, but who do you expect to be called up come September 1st, Tim?
Yeah, I think from the position player side of it, Carlos Mendoza was asked about it last night. So they're looking at speed and versatility, which you look at the potential candidates, and really only Luis Angel Acuña stands out in that regard. You can play a couple different spots in the infield. You can play center field a little bit. He's got 34 steals in AAA. So I wouldn't expect him to be coming up to start very many games, if any. I would think he'd be kind of a pinch running piece, a guy who could help you defensively a few places. On the pitching side of it, they've got to activate McGill on Friday. They send someone down or send someone to the aisle that day. And then you've got, maybe Alex Young comes back up as another lefty in that bullpen. He's probably been the guy who's pitched the best at AAA and has had some good success in the major league so far this year.
Tim, you'd like to see Peterson respond. He's pitched well this year, this afternoon. After that tough loss last night, as we talked about to kick off this 11 o'clock hour with you in this interview, Peterson has pitched well on the road in Arizona. It'll be interesting to see after that kind of gut-wrenching loss how the team responds this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, with Peterson, there's been this gap between his ERA and kind of the peripheral numbers and what you'd expect. And I think there's some sense of, there might always be that one bad outing around the corner. But he's pitched so well in big games. He pitched really well last week in San Diego, arguably his best game of the season. So you need another outing like that against Arizona, because even without some of their big names, even without Marte and Walker and Gabby Moreno, this is still one of the better offenses in baseball. This is one of the hardest parks to pitch in baseball. And coming off last night, you kind of need your starting pitcher to lead the way. And let's hope they get that out of Peterson today.
And Tim, the other thing is, when you look at the team they're chasing, it's always the Atlanta Braves. This is not for the division, but it always ends up being Atlanta. And Tim, give the Braves credit. I know you don't cover them on a day-in, day-out basis. The injuries that they've suffered, Acuña, Riley, Albies, Strider, they plug the holes and they keep on finding ways to win baseball games. They just swept the Twins. They've won 6 of 7. They're about to start a series against the Philadelphia Phillies. It's interesting that it's always Atlanta being kind of the big brother to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, you look at how their season has gone, and it's been every bit as difficult. They've had the same kind of injury luck and underperformance from their star players that the Mets had last year. If you had told Atlanta at the start of the season, all of this is going to happen, I think that team's going to win 75 games. But they're still here where they usually are toward the end of the season. They've filled a lot of those holes. They've gotten some guys to step up. In the meantime, Marcelo Ozuna is having a fantastic season for them. Chris Dale might win the Cy Young. Ronaldo Lopez has been way better than I think anyone imagined he would be as a starting pitcher this season. So from the Mets' perspective, you've got that final week series in Atlanta, and I know if you're a Mets fan, a big series in Atlanta in the final week of the season is never something that has gone well for them, but it does remain an opportunity this year that, if you're within 3 or 4 games at that point of Atlanta in that final week, you've got an opportunity to go there, sweep them.
Tim, the Mets would love nothing better. Go there into that series if they're 2 games back of the Braves, and I mean, that is going to be a wonderful series to take in.
Yeah, I mean, that having that on the schedule does give the Mets some chance here that if they're able to stay within shouting distance of Atlanta, and you've got the opportunity this week, like you mentioned, Atlanta plays Philly, the Mets have the White Sox. It's a series you really have to sweep at this point in the year. If you stay within shouting distance, you can get to that series in Atlanta. Milwaukee's probably not going to be trying that hard that final weekend. They're going to be setting up their pitching for the postseason, that maybe you can do something there to make up the final bit of ground.
Tim, last one for you. It'd be about the future of 2 players. I'm curious, where do you stand and where do you think the Mets stand on 2 pitchers? One Severino, the other Manaea.
Yeah, I think with Manaea, he's pitched so well that I worry that he might have priced himself out of what the Mets want to do. He's a guy, basically what he's done this year could get him a 4 or 5 year deal in the offseason. I haven't looked that closely at how he relates to everyone else on the market, but he's definitely shown himself to be one of the better pitchers is going to be on the free agent market. One of the guys who's lifted his stock the most this season, and especially over the last month or so. And then with Severino, you know, I think the Mets have liked what they've gotten out of him. I think they were hoping for a little bit more from a strikeout side of things. And from that perspective, I'm not sure that they really want to engage with him again on a 3-year, 4-year deal that he might get this offseason. I'm not really sure what they're going to do on the pitching side. I think my assumption coming into the season was they were going to make a bigger splash in the open market this winter. But with the years that Burns has had with his strikeout rate going down, with Fried having the year that he's had in Atlanta, another guy who struggled there, I'm not quite sure where David Stearns might turn to replenish this staff for next year.
Tim Britton out in Arizona covers the Mets for The Athletic. Tim, appreciate the time this morning, really do, and enjoy the game this afternoon.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You got it.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
11:29 on this Thursday midday. Mark Malusis with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Rocky Yonkers, The Fan. What's going on, Rocky?
Hey, Moose. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Rocky. What's on your mind, bud?
With the Mets, you know, last night it was tough to watch Diaz blow the game and, you know, the Mets lose in that kind of fashion. Now, I know as a fan, we should be living in the moment and they're still in a playoff spot with heading into the final month of the regular season. But it just seems like, as a fan, there's more question marks than answers with the Mets. Because if you look in the long term, we don't know what's going to happen with Alonso. They don't have any good pitching, especially in their minor leagues. You don't know what's going to happen with Senga and the calf injury. And other than Alvarez, Lindor, and Nimmo, and maybe Vientos, what do you really have to build around this team?
Well, you'd throw Alonso in if he signed after the season.
But let's just say if he didn't, hypothetical, let's say if he didn't, the Mets said, all right, they let Alonso walk. Then you have a void to fill out in first base. And then you have to look at the landscape of the National League East, because it's like the Braves still have their core guys under contract for the next 5-6 years. Phillies still have opponent lineup, and they're well managed with Rob Thompson for at least another 3 years. And the Nationals are on the rise because they have a core group of guys that they're building around. So other than those three teams, are you just better than the Marlins, which is, like, you know, it's not like that doesn't say a whole lot.
I mean, Rocky, a very pessimistic viewpoint. But, yeah, I mean, you'd look at it, if the Braves are healthy, the Braves are better. I mean, they've just shown it. They're just a better baseball team. Doesn't mean the Mets can't evolve as an organization to be better, just as good, but Atlanta's better. I mean, just look at them right now. Atlanta's dying to be caught. Because of all the injuries. And the Mets still continue to fluctuate between, four, five, six, seven games over 500. Let's see what happens this afternoon against Arizona. Then they take on the Chicago White Sox. Last night was a terrible loss, but, Atlanta's better. I mean, results matter. They've shown that already. So, yeah, their core, when healthy, is better. Even without the core, they're showing you this year, they're better. So when you look at this Met core and you're looking at, Lindor, and you mentioned, I think Vientos is part of it. Alvarez is part of it. Obviously, Brandon Nimmo is part of it. Do the Mets need to improve on that? If Alonso leaves in free agency, for sure. Is Jeff McNeil not exactly beloved by Met fans across the tri-state area? Is he now a signature piece of this team? Once was, probably not anymore. You look at the starting rotation. We just had the conversation with Tim Britton. He's unsure about the future of both Minaya and Severino with the Mets. You need to have Kodai Senga back and healthy. He made one start this year, suffered a calf injury. He might be able to return this year at some point before the end of the regular season. Yeah, I get it. Then you get into Edwin Diaz. You get to the relievers. This is not a finished product when you're looking at this team, but the opportunity is still there for this team to potentially make the playoffs in the National League.
Like I hope I'm wrong, Moose, because I want the Mets to, go on a tear and at least, get into that final wild card spot. And who knows what can happen? Because it's a crapshoot at the end of the day when it comes to the postseason and baseball.
I hate that. I mean, Rocky, I hate the whole crapshoot thing coming to the playoffs. I really do. I understand last year happened, and I get that parity in Major League Baseball. It annoys me to no end when I hear that, because I think there are players that are able to raise their level in the postseason. There are players that are not able to do so. And I think, you build your team to be successful, not in the regular season, not just for the regular season, but come October as well. The whole idea that, it's just a roll of the dice. Like, it's all luck. Like, I'm playing the lotto. Like, that's not true. That's just not true. Like, that you can't operate as a baseball team hoping that Lady Luck smiles upon you in October and your team gets hot at the right time. If your team is really, really good, you don't have to worry about that.
So hopefully, in the long run, they can develop the farm system and, add some depth. Maybe be like the Braves. Have, like, three starting pitchers. Because you already have some core group of guys like Lindor, Nimmo, Alvarez, and, I would assume Alonso if they're going to bring him back, and then Vientos.
Yeah, so you build. Rocky, that's the whole point. I mean, that's what Cohen wants to do. He wants to build a healthy organization, top on down, right? He wants to have the Met way, similar to what Stick Michael did, and Martino wrote a book on it about the Yankee way, similar to the Cardinal way, the Astros way. Everybody's got a way. That's it. So, I mean, the Mets want to build their way, which leads to success, which leads to, teaching of what is important within the organization, what you value in hitters, what you value in pitchers, what is going to, in terms, be successful on the major league level, leading to sustained success. There is no kind of rebuild year, retool year. Stearns mentioned it when he took over as president of this team, all of these things. So the Mets went into this season, and they talked about the fact that, being a playoff team, being a contending team, they built also the team for short-term solutions to see what guys have, and Minaya and Severino and others. And then if it didn't work out, those guys, even if they were pitching well and, those guys are playing well, those guys could be paired off at the MLB trade deadline. And at one point in time, we were trending in that direction as this team was 11 games under the 500 mark before they got hot as a firecracker and went on a run. Virginia we go. It's Steve. It's the Fan. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, thank you very much for taking my phone call.
You got it, Steve.
I was listening last night to the post game, and I was listening to Edwin Diaz's comments and Mendoza and Nimmo. And, I think a big part of the problem here this season with Mets is that we got so anchored to this is a transition year that now when you listen to Mendoza and Nimmo, like last night, for example, they're saying, well, you know, we're competing with the best teams in baseball and we're splitting series. And sure, this is a good thing. But, you know, would players from the Dodgers be saying that? You know, would it be good enough for the Dodgers or the Yankees? I don't think so. But I think because we're in this transition mindset.
Have you ever listened to Boone postgame?
Yes. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. Even with Diaz last night, you know, he says after the game, even in the bullpen session, the fastball, he couldn't control it. And I just wonder, like, what's the point of a bullpen coach? I mean, no one can, like, see this going on and say, hey, maybe we leave Maton out there and, you know, not go to Diaz. But, so I think part of the problem here with the Mets is just the transition year mentality. I don't think they have that killer instinct. I think the culture is better under Cohen, but I still think there is not that kind of killer instinct that Brady and Jordan had. And I think we need to bring a player in here like that who's going to really – no losing's acceptable. You know, if you have a lead in the eighth inning, that game has to be won. And it cannot always be, well, we're competing. So I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know, and I think we have the comments. Here's Nimmo. Do we have the comments from Brandon Nimmo post-game last night? Yes, we do. Here's Brandon Nimmo last night. You heard in Lopresti's 11 o'clock update, talking about the loss in Arizona.
Gut punch was this one, coming back from 4-0 and the end result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it hurts, but nothing we can do about it now. So you just move forward and try and get a win tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, you know, every loss, and especially at this point in the year, it hurts. And I'm really proud of the guys for fighting back and, you know, making them use their closer. But it's something that, you know, it doesn't feel good. And you know, at this point, you know, we're trying to win every ball game that we possibly can.
Yeah, there's another cut from Nimmo last night that talks about the Arizona Diamondbacks being a good team. See if we can find that. Here we go. Here's Nimmo last night.
84 wins was enough for the last wild card spot. Mm-hmm. This year is looking like it's going to be a few more.
Yeah.
What's just your sense of what you guys are going to need to do over the final month here in order to get in?
Well, you know, I think we've got an uphill battle for sure. You know, it seems to me like San Diego and Arizona and Atlanta are really playing good baseball at the right time. And, you know, in order for us to make our way in, one of those teams is going to have to falter a little bit, and
we're going to
have to take advantage of it. So, you know, none of them are really doing that right now, and we can't control that. But, you know, every year is a new year, like you said, like 84 wins. Well, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that was last year and this is this year, you know. And so it really just depends how good of baseball they continue to play. And then for us, we'll just try and control what we can control, and that's trying to win ball games. Ultimately, there is only so much that we can do. You know, there was that year that in 22 that, you know, we ended up losing the division, but it wasn't because we played bad baseball. It was because the Braves played unbelievably, like, record-breaking kind of baseball, you know. And so if you run into that, sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles, you know, and it's too bad. You know, we'll continue to try and win every game that we can. And, you know, however many wins it is, that's how many it is at the end of the year. And we'll just continue trying to chase them down.
Yeah, I mean, there was another one. We'll find it at some point. But it was another Nimmo cut last night talking about the Braves, or that the Arizona is a good team and can't win them all, and all that kind of mindset from Brandon Nimmo. But you get the point. Listen, last night was a gut punch. There's no question about it. Let's see how they respond this afternoon in Arizona.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, quarter noon. Malusis with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Belmore. It's Bobby. It's the Fan. What's going on, Bobby?
Hi, Moose. How are you?
Bobby, I'm well. How about yourself, buddy?
Good, good, good. Happy holiday. As far as the Mets are concerned, I don't care if the Braves have 9 minor leaguers. I mean, they're missing 3 all-star in their lineup, plus their ace starting all-star than Strider. They still wouldn't catch the Braves because it's the Braves. You know, it's just unbelievable. It's just the history of both teams. Now, if Soto, I think they're going to get Soto. I think Cohen's going to match the highs of like $10 million a year. And I think Soto's not going to have a choice, even with the Yankees. But we'll see what happens. But let me get to Judge. There should be less pressure on him to produce in the postseason this year. He's got Soto. The American League is weak. I know the Astros are there, but they're not the same team. And, you know, he's been a 200 postseason hitter since Game 3 of 2018. Game 3 and 4 at the stadium, because after the first two games at Fenway in that postseason series, he was on fire. Then proceeded to play the New York song on the boombox, which Cora admitted and motivated the Red Sox. Ever since that series, he's been banned in the postseason. So if he wants to be like the other captains, like Gehrig and Munson and Jeter, he better hit better than 0-63 like he did in the last series against the Astros.
Well, Bobby, I don't disagree. I think that's the last hurdle for Aaron Judge. It's not what he does in the regular season. You got to win in October. Now, there have been, I mean, Don Mattingly never won. You know, he was a beloved Yankee captain. You know, but we're talking about the greats of the greats with Aaron Judge and what he is doing during the course of the regular season, the immortals that put on that Yankee uniform. The goal is to win. I'm with you. You know, I think Jeter said it best over the weekend. You know, if you don't win a World Series, it's an absolute failure. That's why it bothers me. It irritates me. It angers me when people talk about the fact that it's a roll of the dice or it's a crapshoot come the playoffs. Like Lady Luck needs to, like you're playing the lotto or playing roulette or playing a hand. Like nonsense.
Well, it's not this year. It's not this year. I mean, you have Soto now there. If Stan could hit, Stan's produced pretty good in the playoffs and could stay healthy. And the American League is very weak. The Astros are coming on, but Verlander is not the same pitcher he was 2 years ago. And I know they have Valdez, and they have the guy they got from Toronto,
and
they
Kikuchi.
Have a couple of good pitchers. Yeah, but he's unproven. And you know, I think this is the year. I mean, Soto, I think, is going to leave. I think Cohen's going to get him. So the Yankees, they got to get what their iron is hot. And if he doesn't produce in the postseason this year, I mean, he's been given a pass. I don't hear many people complain about, you know, what he's doing in the postseason. He's a great player in the regular season, without doubt. And, you know, he's not the only player that hasn't produced.
Bobby, I don't know if he's necessarily maybe he hasn't been the main talking point. That's fair. I mean, that's fair. Well, I mean, he hasn't taken that kind of hit that he is, you know, he hasn't taken, you know, I lived through the years with Barry Bonds, who was a terrible postseason player, up until that one run he had with San Francisco. Obviously, PEDs help, but still. Where they lost to the Rally Monkey and the Angels in the World Series with Dusty Madge and the team. So, you look at Aaron Judge, yeah, he's got a hit in October. He does. I don't disagree. Does he get a pass? Is he the main talking point? Yeah, he doesn't draw the ire. And it'll be as he's got guys that protect him, not necessarily through the media, but, you know, if you're going to be critical of the Yankees, you're going to be critical of Brian Cashman. Then you're going to be critical of Aaron Boone. Then you go down the line. It's going to be a ways before you get to Aaron Judge as being the number one criticism. The way the team is built, the way that they're relying on hitting the ball over the fence. Some of the decisions that are made. I mean, amazingly enough, I mean, you have two losses down at Washington against the Nationals. By the way, the Yankees, all you have to do right now to beat the Yankees is throw a lefty. All you have to do right now is throw a lefty. And you know what? The Yankees struggle. I think they're 5 games under 500 this year going up against lefty starters. Everybody's lining up lefties. The Yankees struggle against lefties. They leave, you know, they leave guys on base all over the place. Last night, you get, you know, an insult to injury after we talked about it yesterday about the fact that DJ LeMahieu didn't get pinch hit for. Well, there was LeMahieu going up against the same reliever getting pinch hit for, and Cabrera comes up to the plate. But I heard the rationalization from Boone the night before. Not against lefties. No. We can't have not even Finnegan against lefties. Look at his stats. No. But last night, you know why? Because the eyeballs lead the way. Like, you can't take it anymore with LeMahieu. I can't wait. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this because he was hitting .238 with 8 home runs, 28 RBIs through 70 games this year before he fractured his forearm. But listen, I can't wait till Rizzo gets back. That's the point I'm at here when you're looking at this Yankee team. Tough loss. Rodon melted before your very eyes because the pitch com didn't work properly and get called for a balk. And a Yankee team, better be careful here, because a Yankee team You want to win that American League East. I don't want to hear about the idea, oh, you know what, just get in. Let's see what happens. No, win the division. It makes the path that much more easier. What do you think? This Yankee team responds to difficult situations? In recent memory, do they? When the chips are stacked against them, when things are not going particularly well, does this team respond in kind? No, they do not. But that's the frustrating aspect when you look at it. And listen, I said it yesterday, bears worth repeating. We could all wish, hope, pray. You know, say, you know, and think all the positives when it comes to DJ LeMahieu. You can look at the fact that his batting average in the month of August is a tad better than it was in the month of June and July. Look at all those things. And you could want and desire it a lot. The eyeballs have got to lead the way. Like, it comes a point in time when you look at LeMahieu as a player, right now as a hitter, he's no longer the asset that he once was. That guy is long gone. That guy is gone, and he ain't returning. Not this year. So let's minimize the impact of DJ LeMahieu as best we can, if you're the New York Yankees. That's what the mindset is, needs to be. And I understand not a lot of viable options out there. I mean, but get creative. But Boone's rationalization the night before, well, that rationalization went out the window after he saw the plate appearance by LeMahieu and said, you know what, let's put Cabrera up. Let's head out to Massapequa. It's Max. It's the fan. What's going on, Max?
Hey, how you doing, guys? So, listen, I want to preface this by saying I love this show. I've been in New York for a little over a decade at this point. Ironically enough, I actually was born in Boston, and I love the sports teams out there. But what I wanted to ask, as an unbiased, loving fan of the sport, the Yankees, right, this is the best team I've seen them produce in over a decade at this point. Like I said, from an unbiased perspective. And what I want to know is, how do you think they're going to fare in the playoffs if they're losing games that matter so much with the division so tight against the Rockies, against the Tigers, against teams that have 30 wins, the White Sox? There's no reason they should be losing these games. What do you guys think the playoffs is going to look like if that's the case right now during the regular season?
Yeah, tell me, do they win division? I mean, the 22 team won 99 games.
Yeah, no doubt.
The 19 team, you're going back to the fact that this is the best team. The 19 team won 102, 103. The year before, they won 100. Is this team going out there win 100 games this year? They or not?
Well, I think it's the most complete team. I think pitching, when it comes to the playoffs, is a huge factor, and you guys have aces everywhere.
Who do you trust? Let's look at this, Max. I don't mean to pick on you, but do you trust Rodon in a big spot?
Honestly, I saw him lose that game against the Tigers the other day, and not necessarily, but the statistics don't lie. He is, you know, top 20, top 30 pitcher.
Not enough with the stats. Eyeballs. I'm talking about watch the game, right? Do you trust Rodon in a big spot? Do you trust Rodon in a big spot like you trusted David Cohn in a big spot?
Not necessarily.
All right. Do you trust Marcus Stroman like you trusted Andy Pettit in a big spot?
I used to. Marcus Stroman used to be the man.
Do you trust Nestor Cortez like you did Orlando Hernandez?
He was better last year, but it's not the worst option you guys got.
Here's the deal. You talk about the fact that the pitching staff is, you know, top-notch. It's really not. I mean, that's why the importance is on Gerrit Cole to find himself, because if Gerrit Cole is not dominant come October, this team's not going anywhere. You're talking about the other things. I mean, this lineup, you know, has been Judge and Soto and Judge. You know, you've gotten blips. Whether it be, you know, for a run of Verdugo, you know, Stanton has flown under the radar. He has no longer been the guy that Yankee fans have criticized because, you know, at least he's provided a little bit of pop. You know, Trevino, he went out with injury. Wells finally got an opportunity, like the young catcher, no doubt about it, 100%. Jazz Chisholm, when he was acquired, came in here and was a fan favorite immediately because, hey, look, a guy that's athletic, can run the bases, can do different things, adds a little excitement to the lineup. this lineup has been criticized and critiqued and ripped, and the Yankees still don't have a leadoff man, a natural leadoff hitter with this team. We've spent a lot of time talking about DJ LeMahieu. I just mentioned, I can't wait for Anthony Rizzo to return. And listen, Rizzo is no longer, Rizzo's in his 15th season. He's in his late 30s, and he is nowhere near the player he once was. But you know what? I'll take that version of Anthony Rizzo over DJ LeMahieu. That's where we're at here. And you know what you get defined by if you're the Yankees? If you win in October. I don't care what the business model says. I don't care how many fans you're drawing at Yankee Stadium. I don't care how much money you're making. All those things are important. I get it. You want to make money. Everybody in America, everybody wants to make money. Yes, the Yankees are uber successful from a business perspective. From a team aspect, what you are judged on, what the Yankees sell themselves on is winning championships. They've been stuck on 27 for a while.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.